You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. As far as I can tell, all of the participants in the studio are very much alive this morning. Karen?
Yes.
Welcome.
I am alive. Yeah, good to be here.
Always. Karen, are you still getting fan mail?
Yes.
Okay.
Occasionally.
Just wanted to make sure.
And I expect to get a big fan mail this week.
A lot of fan mail this week. Okay.
After my discussion last week.
Oh, okay. Tell us about your program every Friday morning, 11 o'clock.
Yep. Friday morning, 11 o'clock for Hidden Places.
Hidden Places.
And we just discuss the things that the Lord has spoken to us personally. And then we bring our thoughts to the table and the Lord puts the picture out there.
There you go.
Of what he's doing.
And David, you have two programs. Welcome, David.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be here. Always a joy to be here. My volume seems to be...
I can hear you just
okay,
fine.
I can. All right. It's just me. My personal volume is
maybe
down.
Your volume is...
Yeah. We have two programs I'm excited about. The front line every Monday from 11 to noon. Bring in area ministries, or maybe they're statewide or international, just whoever God sends us. And we lift up people doing the work of the Lord and enable others to find out what they're doing, how to get a hold of them, and promote them, which is what we're supposed to do. The second program on Tuesday, again, 11 to noon, a biblical response is looking at some of the things that we read about in the news that are very distressing to us through the biblical lens. How should we see these things?
It gets spicy some days.
It gets spicy, I'm telling you.
Program gets spicy. Yeah.
Stick our necks out, but it's worth it, you know, to tell the truth.
Occasionally I have someone call in and say they would like to help you all understand things better. and other times they say thank you very much for addressing some issues that do not often get discussed. And an awesome thing is we have a lot of guests that come in right from the Treasure Coast and from up and down our coast. Amen. All right, I now want to welcome Diane Ludwig. You are a returning part of our family here at Women's Refuge in Vero Beach. Great ministry. Been there a long time. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. Glad to be here.
And you have a guest you brought along. Kathy is with you this morning, and it's Kathy. Is it Casper?
It is.
Kathy Casper. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Hopefully there's about a million people listening to us this morning. They're smiling really big. We have Diane and we have Kathy, and then there's the rest of us. And, you know, around here we don't have cameras yet. I understand they're coming, but we have a dear friend, Alan, if you're listening. Remember, Alan, you said we should stick to radio. We don't have camera faces, but occasionally we bring in guests that have camera faces. So, amen, you wouldn't know that. But great to have representatives in with us today from Women's Refuge. Diane, you are in what position there?
I'm the executive director. I've been in that position since 2017. So
okay.
Coming up on 10 years, I'm, you know, looking ahead there.
And it great ministry. How did you end up there? And tell us a little bit about the ministry. What do you do?
Well, let's see what I do. I push a lot of papers. No. tell people what to do. No. So the first thing is, how did I end up at the Women's Refuge? I was very thankful for a friend of mine that I met at church who directed me towards our counseling center. At the time, my husband and I were having a little difficulty in our marriage. I was trying to control him. He was trying to control me. And so it led me to making an appointment and coming to see the wonderful counselors there at the Women's Refuge. And they turned my life around.
Wow.
And made such a difference, not only in my life, but in our marriage. And I'm eternally grateful, not only to the Lord, but to them as well for pointing me in the right direction. And after a while, I had an opportunity to volunteer at the Women's Refuge. And I like to say, if you stick around long enough, they put you in charge of things. So I went from a volunteer to working in the public relations department to then working in the front office and then the director of administration and then the executive director position.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a journey. I think I started counseling there in 2010, somewhere in that area, 2011. And it's been a joy to serve there. And so what we do, the Women's Refuge, we offer a Christ-centered program that offers hope and healing to hurting people. And we do that through biblical counseling. We have a number of ways that we offer those services. And our first and foremost is our live-in program. And our live-in program is for women ages 18 on up. Who are, like we like to say, who are serious about getting well. And what we mean by that is there are so many women that are dealing with really difficult life issues, trauma, loss, anxiety, depression, some really deep emotional, mental, and spiritual woundedness. And we offer them a sanctuary, a safe space to go through and work through some of these challenges that they've been dealing with and finding the truth through God's word, and not only our curriculum that we offer, but the counseling that they receive along with our support groups. That is offered to women anywhere from 2 weeks is a minimum stay up to 9 months. And if after 9 months they decide they want further healing and accountability, we do offer a succession to go into a discipleship or an internship program for an additional 15 months for a total of 2 years.
Mm.
It's a wonderful, wonderful campus. What we hear time and again, that women, whenever someone steps onto our campus, the peace of the Holy Spirit, they really feel it there. So we're very blessed to work in a beautiful
tremendous
place.
Mm-hmm. That is absolutely tremendous. Mm-hmm. So, Kathy, is there anything left for you to do? I mean,
no,
sounds
not
like Diane has it all put together.
We are truly blessed to have Diane as our executive director. That is true. There is nothing that she is not able to do.
She grew up with it,
yes,
really, the ministry.
That is correct. And every day I'm thankful for Diane. That said, I am the director of counseling, and I have been with the refuge since August, so relatively new still.
Okay.
A background in psychology, corporate career, and made the change to ministry this in 2025, for which I am eternally grateful.
Mm.
I made that change because I myself had been at a place in my life many years ago after a very traumatic divorce of needing something like the refuge, but not having anything like that that I was aware of and not having the opportunity to go to a place like the Women's Refuge. And so I have a heart for this kind of work. And I have a heart for especially the women that we serve and, you know, women who are just needing godly help from other women who have walked hard roads and have come to the other side. So I love what I do. It's a blessing to be able to come alongside women in the ways that we're able to do that and help them find freedom in Christ.
Okay, so we have a lot of listeners that are church attendees. Some are, some aren't. We have some that are listening, and we know this because many will tell us that they would not consider themselves Christian at all, but they're kind of searching for some answers. And so when you talk about refuge, Women's Refuge, I suppose you have people from all walks of life that come.
We do, and that's the one thing we want to stress. It's for anyone. Kathy's going to talk a little bit more about our counseling center, but I wanted to touch base briefly on the live-in program. We've hosted professional women, doctors. We've hosted missionaries. We've hosted leaders, business leaders, pastors' wives, homemakers, any woman, teachers, any woman who is in need of restoration. And that's really what we offer, is a place of respite, restoration in relationships. It could be relationships familiar or with the Lord, just to be able to give them the hope and the help and the healing that they need and get on that path of freedom from debilitating, debilitating patterns that they've been ingrained with, codependency, things like that. So we wanted to touch base on who comes to the Women's Refuge Program. Mm-hmm.
So how do you address the, I hate to use this word, but I'm just going to say, stigma of admitting that I need help? Sometimes people in ministry or in professional places are expected to just be perfectly well-balanced in every area and not have any questions unanswered and to be able to have an answer for everybody else. How do you deal with that stigma, and how would you speak to those people today that are like, I'm hurting inside, I really know that I have needs to address, but I'm afraid to let anybody know that I have a problem?
That's a great question. I would say, I would ask the question, what is your health worth to you? And I see us as holistic beings. We've got our spiritual health and our mental health and our emotional health. And when we are not doing well in any one of those areas, it shows, even when we think it doesn't. So at what price are you willing to pay to walk on this earth the time that you're here and not be operating fully? And I also like to say, at the end of the day, we are responsible for our own lives and our own choices. And whether somebody else agrees with the choice we make or not, we need to do what's best for us. And what's best for us may not be what's best for somebody else, but to be able to be operating optimally in who we are, you can't put a price tag on that. And the women that we do have come in who might be struggling with that, it does not take very much time before they recognize, I knew I needed something, I didn't know how much I needed, and I didn't realize how much better I could be or how much better I could get.
And I didn't know where to go.
I didn't know where to go. I didn't know who was safe. I didn't even know really what to say.
That's a biggie. Safe.
Yes.
Who can I talk to that's not throwing my pearls before swine here?
Yes. Yeah. And the beauty of what we do is every woman who we have counseling, all of our counseling staff, they love the Lord, and they all have stories of redemption, all having walked through different seasons of life and different stories, of course. But every single counselor has quite a testimony of God's grace and God's redemption in their own lives. And so what that does is it brings a deep empathy and understanding to other people in places of pain, and they're able to meet those people in places where there's not judgment, because we've all been in those very dark seasons of life.
We've been doing this for 28 years, and I think what your question, Jonathan, was, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you're despairing and you know that something isn't right, you just can't continue doing what you're doing. You've come to the end of yourself, and there's no shame in reaching out for help. And as Kathy explained, every single one of our counselors have experienced some form of trauma and pain and despair, and have gone through that with the help of Christ. And we want to reach those women right now that know deep inside that they can't continue going on like this because their lives are really a mess and they don't know how to put it back together again. Mm-hmm. So like I said, we've been doing this for quite a long time. We've seen so many victories and freedom. They're numerous. And just to give us a call, and we'd be willing to talk with them and accept them into our program and get some counseling.
Let's get the contact information out right now. We'll come back to it again a little later. We need to give it out a few times. But how can people find out more about the ministry, and how do they reach you?
So there are a couple of ways to reach us. Our website is one way, and it is www.womensrefugevb.org. And then our office phone number is 772-770-4424. Our office hours are 9 to 5. And if we're not there, leave a message and we will absolutely call back. But either one of those is a great way to reach us. And we do have quite a bit of information out on our website for all of our programs.
So God is used to 911 calls. People are like not hanging on a rope, they're at the end of a rope. And so, you know, whether it's on a battlefield or whether it's in an automobile today, mm-hmm. and we have people call us from time to time that are at that point where they're so desperate that they are despairing of life, really. Mm-hmm. And we know that God is used to that. Is it better to say, I think I'm close to that, I'm not quite there yet, I don't need help yet? Or is it better to just say, I think I should make the call now? How does that work? Is it better to step in a little early before everything blows up or falls apart? Or
step in anytime.
Anytime.
Anytime. Because that call can make sure you don't go to the end.
Gotcha.
So to speak. And I did want to just make a quick message that we offer a lot of restoration and healing and hope. What I do need to be clear about is we're not a homeless shelter. And while we do have resources in our community that we can direct women to homelessness,
right.
we can share that. And we're not a medical facility or a crisis center. There is,
okay.
there is a process for an application, and there's a small fee for the program, and we can talk about it if, as needed. But yeah, if they're homeless or they're looking for some medical help, we do have resources that we can give them.
That's an important clarification. So someone today, they make the call. What happens next?
So if they're making the call for the live-in program, we would direct them to fill out an application,
okay.
which is online. They fill that out, get that back to us, and then I will interview them with a member of our counseling staff. And the purpose of that interview is really just to kind of get a sense for the individual, who they are, what they're going through, what they're looking for. We'll explain the program. And at the end of that, we ask for the woman that we're meeting with to take some time and pray over what she's heard. And while she's praying over what she's heard, we have some things we do on our end to kind of move the process forward. At the end of that time, which is generally about a week, we will make a decision mutually. Do we think it's a good fit? Does she think it's a good fit? And assuming the answer is yes, then we agree on a date for her to come into the program. As Diane said, it starts at 2 weeks, and entry dates are always on a Sunday. So we'll have her come in on a Sunday, and then we'll get all of that set up as agreed, and she'll come in, and we go through the whole program while she's with us.
Excellent. Now, what about people that are saying, I don't think I can afford this? What? Mm. How do you pay your bills? What does it cost?
Well, that's a good question. We do have a scholarship fund. We are funded by donors and contributors. And we also have events that we hold during the year. And people are specifically giving for those women who can't afford. And we do also, we have collaboration with a lot of churches that, you know, we like to say we're a parachurch. We come alongside the church and help them. So we do ask the women to reach out to either their churches or family members who might be willing to support them. But we never turn anyone away for lack of fund.
Okay.
So we do have scholarship programs for women and also for our counseling services that Kathy can tell more about, which is kind of a separate entity in itself.
Which is not necessarily residential?
That is correct. So we have this live-in program that Diane's spoken about. We also have some other opportunities where we are able to serve women and men as well. And
I see some group events sometimes.
Yes. So
are those like introductions to the ministry or are they?
They can be.
Okay.
Absolutely. So we have biblical counseling, which happens generally on our campus through the business week. And that involves an individual calling the office, getting set up with one of our counselors. They'll come in, they'll meet with our counselor, and that looks like a standard counseling session. And again, our counselors are biblical counselors,
right,
which is distinct from licensed counselors.
Right.
We do that, as I said, all week long. We also do online counseling for individuals who aren't in Vero Beach or can't get to Vero Beach conveniently. So we offer Zoom counseling as well.
Excellent.
And then outside of that, we have a number of other opportunities. So we run support groups, and those run throughout the year, but kind of change throughout the year. So we have a group on Monday evenings that starts at 7 p.m. That is a group of women that gets together. It's called Women Seeking Truth. And they will go through different books or Bible studies together on Mondays. And that runs throughout the year. We also have support groups that run periodically. So we recently started one called Shelter from the Storm. That is for women who have suffered from sexual abuse and are healing from sexual abuse. That we run generally about twice a year. It's a 12-week long program. We have one called Anger Management. The title is self-explanatory. We'll be running that later this year. Dates to be determined on that. And this summer, we're going to be running Surrendering the Secret, which is for women who are post-abortive and recovering from going through that. So those are our support groups. We also have a Friday morning Bible study. It's a co-ed Bible study. That's from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. And we run that throughout the year. Sometimes we have pastors from the community come in and lead that. Sometimes it's a member of staff. But that's a great opportunity for people to come in and get a sense for who we are. And staff generally goes to that Bible study, so they'll get to meet some of us as well.
All right. So a lot of things going on. Was thinking earlier that, okay, Women's Refuge, but a lot of times there's men involved and maybe kids involved. So how does all of that work together? How does this impact the whole family?
Well, we do family counseling. We generally keep it 18 on up. If there's teens or younger children, we have other Christian counselors in our area that can meet their needs. But we do find, you know, when the parents are getting healed, then the whole family gets healed. Mm-hmm. And same with the women that come into our live-in program, once the healing starts there and she impacts her family, her communities, her churches, and her workplaces. So it's really that effect that goes throughout the community. You had talked about the funding, and we've got several events that we hold during the year, but I wanted to touch base on what Kathy was talking about. We have these weekend intensives. We just finished one. It's from like a Thursday at 5 o'clock through a Saturday at 5 o'clock, and it's about your identity in Christ. And then another one that we hold is called Conquering Codependency, and that's coming up too. So that offers a woman that time, you know, let's say she's a working woman and she's got her big family, she can't afford to step in for 2 weeks, that she can at least come for a weekend, a long weekend, and get some healing, some teaching, some encouragement, you know, biblical based. And it also gives her a flavor of what we offer here in our program.
So online, you'll be able to find the dates. I'm looking at this flyer for the Conquering Codependency. That's coming up in April.
Mm-hmm. Yes, April 9th.
So that's coming up. I see something about a car show. What that's getting ready to happen? Or
yes, that's
soon.
Yes. So I mentioned churches that support us, and Vero Christian Church has been really wonderful, and they host a car show every year. It's a lot of fun. There's like over 70 entrances of cars, and so some of the proceeds are to benefit the Women's Refuge. I want to give a shout out to Carol and Tom Dybel from Vero Christian Church. They are so involved in our ministry and helping. They help in every way you can think of with events. So they're ones that have invited us to be participants of that. We also have a fundraiser coming up. It's a lot of fun. It's a cover band of the Beach Boys called Good Vibrations, and that's coming up to the Emerson Center. That's in April. And if you go and buy tickets, just put in the word refuge when you buy the ticket, and we get 25%
awesome.
Of that ticket price. And the other thing I wanted to mention while we have the opportunity, coming up in May is one of our fundraisers that's really a great informative luncheon. What we do is called a health and wellness forum and luncheon. We've got 8 prominent physicians from our community that come and they join us for lunch. And then after lunch, you can submit questions, medical questions, anonymously to the doctors. We have a moderator, and the moderator reads the questions, and that way the cardiologist or the orthopedic surgeon or the dermatologist will be able to answer those questions to the group as a whole. So it's
wow.
you learn a lot, and we also have some community resources, information tables there. Local Treasure Coast Community Health will be there, Senior Resource Association, different community organizations like that that will be represented there as well.
A lot of great things going on at the Women's Refuge, for sure. This is coming up May the 13th, mm-hmm. the Health and the Wellness mm-hmm. Forum, and that sounds like an amazing luncheon. What is this meet and greet? Campus tour, meet the staff.
We offer meet and greets once a month, and those are great opportunities for people to come to our campus and sit with us for an hour and a half or so to learn more about what we do and who we are. And so we host those in our residential space, and we spend time talking about the program, the live-in program, our support groups, sharing that information, and then we'll share some food together. And tour the campus, and it gives individuals an opportunity to learn about us and also if they're interested in volunteering, because
okay.
we have a lot of opportunities for volunteers. They can get to know a little bit more about our programs and where they might fit in.
Excellent.
Yes.
So I see Wednesday, February the 25th.
Yes.
Coming up,
mm-hmm.
March, April. Those are all on Wednesdays?
Yes, we do them on Wednesdays once mm-hmm. a month.
If they're unable to support any of those events, we have a wonderful resale shop. And if you want to donate items, gently loved items, we take just about everything you can think of.
Wow.
And so you go to our website, and there will be a phone number there for our resale shop. Our phone number again is 772-770-4424. And just know that all the proceeds benefit our program and our counseling center. So those clothes you want to get rid of in your closet, or those old pots and pans, whatever, just know you're helping a person get healing and wholeness through Christ.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So again, for the families still thinking about partners, I'm sure you have single ladies, you have marriages that are under attack, which all of our marriages are under attack. In fact, all of us are under attack. if we just address it, we're all under attack. So what happens with couples like that? Say a lady comes in, she's in for 2 weeks or whatever. Is there interaction or opportunities for that?
We do have opportunities to interact with the husbands when we have women who are with us. We do also do marriage counseling, and what we typically do is we'll bring couples in, meet with them together, and then we might meet with individuals one-on-one, but we generally will keep them together in the marriage counseling session. And we have been very blessed to have some couples with us even recently who have really benefited from doing the marriage counseling and learning from the experience of another Christian woman who's gone through difficulties in her own marriage and can really bring them to the Bible. What does the Bible say about marriage, about a husband's role in a marriage, about a wife's mm-hmm. role in a marriage?
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we're running out of time. This 30 minutes literally flew by. Thank you so much. I know you all had a drive to come down here, but I know our listeners are so impacted by what you're sharing today. Any closing thoughts? And once again, your web address and how they can find you there.
So our web address is www.womensrefugev, as in Victor, B as in boy, for Vero Beach, .org, not .com. And a lot of information out on our website. And then our office number that Diane shared just a little while ago, either place is a great way to get a hold of us to get more information.
That's the 772-770-4424.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we just want to encourage you to not put off making that call. Whether you come in the next week or the next month, just know that we are here to receive. And we've been in your place, and we just want to show the love of Christ to you and show you that there is a better way, and to not put off the pain, not put off the victory that God has for you.
Lead us in a prayer for those today that are listening that might be contemplating making that call.
Mm. Father, we just, Lord, we just glorify you and give you all praise and glory. And thank you for the love and the tender mercies that you give to us each and every day. And Lord, I know that you have a plan for that woman who is listening to us, Lord, that you just touch her right now and give her your grace, Lord, to know that there are people who care for her and have a place for her that she can go to hear from you, Lord, to drown out the chaos of the world and give her a peaceful place to get to know you better. So, Lord, have her make that call today to us, and know that you are there to minister to her. No shame, no condemnation, just the love of Christ that we want to pour into her. And we pray this through Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Diane, awesome to have you. And the representation of the ministry today has been excellent. And Kathy, great to have you with us as well.
You.
And know that we will have you back whenever that works. I think Dave's already working on a full one-hour program at some point. So look forward to doing all that we can to encourage and get the word out. When you have special events, if you want to give us a shout, we'll be happy to promote those with a phone call. And just let people know what's coming up. So if you want to do that. Well, again, this is Wednesday Live, and you're listening right here to WCNO in Palm City, Florida, 89.9. Keep your dial set right here. We are going to be back in just a moment, and we have a guest. We're going to be talking about a great movie that is coming up, and it is number two. Number one, I Can Only Imagine. Number two is out and coming out, and we're going to have the director on air with us in a few moments. So keep your dial set right here, and we'll be right back.
The bleeding sacrifice, oh Christ, how brutal it has been. That tragic act of love has paid the price my sin demanded. From Eden's wilted promises to my heart's dark affections, thy bleeding sacrifice, O Christ, has purchased my redemption. There was no shame more deep than thine, no agony more bitter. Now risen and exalted high is Jesus Christ the Savior, who burst through every band of death and trampled. Ransom all God's children. When trumpets howl and mountains shake, an
announcing heaven's splendor. The gates of New Jerusalem will open wide to greet us. Every tongue on earth will sing, oh, glory unto Jesus. Christ is died. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Christ will come again. Christ has died. He's risen. Oh, he's risen. Hallelujah. Christ will come again. Oh, Christ has died. Christ.
And we're coming back on air right now, and we have been so blessed already this morning talking about Women's Refuge and things that opportunities that are available for ladies and families that are looking to get healing. Well, we have Kim with us.
Hello.
Hello, Kim.
Excited to be here.
Excited to have you here. And we have some exciting events to talk about today, a movie we're going to be talking about, and I think we have a guest that you're going to help us introduce, Cindy Bond. She tells me she's one of the Bond girls.
Yes, Bond for Christ.
Bonding for Christ. Bond for Christ. Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right, so you want to introduce our guest?
Yeah, well, I'm super excited that Cindy Bond can be with us because she is the producer of I Can Only Imagine 2, also was the producer of I Can Only Imagine 1.
Okay.
And if you can imagine, part 2 is even more exciting as they follow the same stories of the characters from Mercy Me.
I'm hearing
that. And some more people. And her testimony of how God inspired her to make this film is a Holy Spirit moment. I get chills even as I'm saying it. Karen's testifying with me, too. Everyone I speak to about this film, the Spirit is in it, and it's Cindy, listen to God. And I want you to hear the story through her voice, but every time I share any part of it, whoever I'm talking to, Christian, not Christian, immediately they tell me, I'm getting chills. Mm-hmm. So this is the woman that God brought to the table. She has so much experience. We're so lucky to have her, not only on the radio today, but in the Christian filmmaking world, we need that kind of quality people. We talk about that a lot.
That's great.
And God is really bringing people to the table. And I'm real excited.
Well, I want to hear that story, Cindy. Cindy, welcome. You can greet all of your friends down here in Florida. I'm sure you have a lot of them.
Yes, I do. Thank you so much for having me on the show today. Very appreciative.
Well, we want to get the word out, and you have the inside story. I'm looking at all of these different things you've done, different films. And, of course, I Can Only Imagine, I believe almost every Christian has seen that film,
Yes. One.
But what I'm hearing is that this second one, even though it may be tough to have a runner-up, is right. Actually a great and maybe better than the first one. So that is absolutely awesome. And everyone is going to want to see this movie. That's just the bottom line. Everybody's going to want to see it. And so I'm looking at all the different films you put out. I'm looking at my notes. I highlight things. I'm like, $83 million domestically and ranks among the top 10 music. Something. Bioptics? Yes. Of all time. So the films, all kinds of different pictures. Is it you have produced 200 films, something like that?
I have been involved with over 200 films. I've been a producer on 27, okay. And the others I was involved in the distribution of, both in the U.S. and okay. outside the U.S., all in the international market, actually, and started up, actually, the first Christian theatrical distribution company back in the 90s, and then started up a foreign international company called Mission Pictures in 09 to open up the international marketplace for faith-based films.
That is absolutely awesome. That is awesome. So tell us about this film that's coming up. How did all of this come to you? And tell us that story.
Well, to God be the honor, praise, and glory, all of it, because I'm just a vessel. I'm a media missionary. And that's what
I like that. Media missionary. I love that. Define that. Define that. A media missionary. That is great.
I mean, a media missionary being that this is truly a calling that I know that God had given me for, I mean, it's been almost 40 years that the Lord's given me this calling in the industry. And why I say missionary is because the movies I make are with a biblical worldview to put forth, the goodness of God, the, you know, kingdom messages through my films so that I can impact hearts and minds for the kingdom of God throughout the world. I mean, it really is an incredible mission field because, yes. You know, what we see and what we hear shapes and shifts culture and shapes and shifts the way people think and act and feel about themselves. So it's an incredible mission field, and I'm just incredibly blessed to, you know, have had this calling on my life for so long.
That is awesome. So you are a media missionary, and what is the story in particular of I Can Only Imagine?
Oh, yeah. Incredible story. Literally 2009, driving to work one day in Malibu, California, and I was at a stoplight about to turn left on the Pacific Coast Highway, a beautiful day in the spring. And I received a word from God. I call it a Holy Spirit epiphany for me because it just, the light bulbs just went on all over the place. And the idea was, music-filled, music-driven feature films to replicate the worship experience that we have inside church, that anointed experience, but instead have that happen inside movie theaters.
Woohoo!
And when I received that word, and that was clear. That's exactly what I received from the Lord. And the working title of that time was like Gospel Music Theater. And so the idea was based on iconic Christian songs, these stories would come forth. So I think I blew through. I did wait for the green light, but I pulled my car over immediately because I was just in tears. I mean, I got Holy Spirit chills from top of my head to the soles of my feet. And then the Lord just said I got this other word to call a friend of mine in Nashville who was at a big music company, and I told him this idea, and he loved it. And I said, "What songs do you have?" And he said, "Well, we have I Can Only Imagine and Shout to the Lord. Which one do you want?" And I thought, "You have I Can Only Imagine." I mean, I knew the story to Shout, phenomenal story, but I wasn't led to that. I Can Only Imagine was one of my favorite songs of all time, and I asked, I said, "Well, what's the story underneath?" And I was told the story briefly. And when I heard it, I said right then and there in 2009, I'm going to turn that into a feature film. And let me tell you something. This is a mustard seed. This was total faith. Because I didn't know the story, but God did. God knew Bart Millard's life story. He allowed Bart to live that life so that he could be glorified many years later. And so it's to God be all the glory here, because I didn't come up with the idea. I'm just a vessel. I hung in there. I persevered. I worked hard. And 9 years later, we hit theaters 2018, and it was a huge success.
Praise God. Praise God. So how, Kim, how did you and
Cindy
get acquainted? How did this happen? Yes.
Okay, so I'm sure you hear in her voice and in her spirit that it's the same calling, the same.
Oh, there's a passion. There's a Holy Spirit passion that's there. That's awesome.
Yes, for what God is doing in arts and entertainment, which is why we have Heart for Hollywood.
Yep.
On the radio station here, and I I always send you the links when there's screenings for new movies coming out. And we just went to the movie. Karen was there also. I can only imagine, too, as a pre-screening for, you know, Christian leaders in the area. And we were just super blessed because Cindy was there.
Wow.
She came to the screening.
Very nice.
So
that is
just
awesome.
Traveling all over the country. And we were fortunate enough to have her in our local area. And so afterwards, sometimes they'll ask me to close in prayer. So, you know, I have to, you know, scoot up front. And, you know, I'm listening to Cindy very closely. And I'm listening to what she's saying about her testimony. And then I'm asking God. I wasn't feeling great that day. And I'm like, I don't know how to pray about this movie. And what's funny is she doesn't know, but he told me, pray for the Holy Spirit to continue the work in the audience to carry the message. As this, every time I tell the story, anyway, to tell everyone who sees the movie to ask God to lead them who to invite. And that we're part of this mission with this film and what he's doing, the audience.
Yes.
You know, so I prayed for the audience to feel God's leading. And then when I heard her testimony of how she was led from the inception of the very moment that she pulled over on Malibu, I'm like, oh, wow, this is of one accord. This is what's happening. Just ran over to her for 2 seconds and said, can we interview you on WCNO? And she's like, yeah, Stan, give her my number. And then, yeah, that's how we connected.
Awesome. So, Cindy, tell us a bit, just a snippet of your God story.
Oh yeah.
Who are you? How did you come to Christ? And how did you get into this industry? We probably have some young people listening today that are saying, yeah. "Wow, how could I, how do I get from where I am to where somebody like Cindy is?" What can you tell us of your journey?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking how much the second movie mirrors my life because I came from a broken home. And you know, in life, we experience brokenness, and I can only imagine, too, you know, deals with how to balance grief and gratitude, and that Jesus never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always there with us through the storms and the fire, you know, to carry us through. And so I actually was the victim, you know, I want to say, I don't want to use the word victim, but I was, I grew up in it was a result of being in a broken home. My parents split when I was tiny, very little. I was raised by my grandparents, and that was a blessing beyond blessings because my grandparents were super strong believers in Christ. And I first came to Christ at a Billy Graham crusade at Candlestick Park when I was 7 years old with my little grandmother.
And, wow.
And it was. And I remember it to this day. Dr. Graham gave the call, and I sat there at 7. I went, well, that's a no-brainer. and I literally leapt out of my seat, and my little grandmother was probably about 4'10", went running after me to make sure I didn't get lost in the throngs of people. And, yeah, and then at 12 years old, I was at a beautiful camp in Yosemite, Calvin Crest. And I at 12, gave my life to Christ. In, you know, with baptism and all that. But, yeah, and then the journey into Hollywood was an interesting one because I didn't know I was going to be in Hollywood. I was actually pursuing a career as a professional golfer, which I ended up becoming a pro golfer, thinking, oh, the tour is my, you know, setting my sights on the pro tour. And I got to be a good golfer, but when I went out there on a mini tour, I just did not have a peace. I'm like, nope, this is not where God wants me. And one thing led to another, and came to Los Angeles and got into acting class, was doing modeling and things like this. And acting class, when I was in class, there were a lot of soon-to-be famous actors in there. They weren't at the time, but I studied there for 5 years in acting class, and I learned the creative side of the industry. And that's how I, and through acting, actually, a producer dropped out of a play I was in, and we didn't have a producer, and I just stepped up and said, I'll produce it, and I didn't know what I was doing, but I stuck one foot in front of the other and learned.
That's right.
Wow, that's exciting. So to young people, you would say what today?
Oh, I would say, okay, young people, I firmly believe in Matthew 6:33, as I believe in many scriptures, about seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall come unto you. Because if you're called to the industry, just prayerfully seek. It's a huge industry. Many different roles you can play, from actor, producer, director, you know, in front or behind the camera, and see where God's leading you. If he's leading you into this industry, you know, just prayerfully seek, where is he leading you to in this industry? And persevere, work hard, but stay prayerful to do your best to keep your priorities in line. And, you know, be humble, be patient, work super hard, like I said, persevere, and learn as much about the industry as you possibly can, which means watch a lot of movies, which is great. And sometimes bad movies actually teach you more than the good ones. that's pretty much my best advice.
So you did have some of an educational pursuit. You recognized there was preparation, training, and such forth. So what would you say to young people? Where would they start looking? What should they look for? And how does God step into those desires of your heart and bring that to reality?
Well, he certainly, you know, when you pray, I mean, I've always asked, Lord, I only want your desires in my heart. I don't want mine. I really, as I've gotten older too, just learned how to really, you know, as I pray every morning to the Lord, just, you know, have the Holy Spirit permeate my flesh, because I don't want my flesh getting in the way. So it's really about getting the desires in your heart that God wants you to have, and not following your own selfish pursuits, because what God has for us is much greater than what we can think of for ourselves. And we each have unique callings in our lives. And I'm a firm believer about 2 sons, 10,000, just like the word says. And that is so true in the motion picture industry. I mean, I'm one of the producers of I Can Only Imagine and I Can Only Imagine Too, but there are 5 other producers, Kingdom Story Company, Andy Irwin, Brandon Gregory, Josh Walsh, incredible. Andy Irwin and Brent McCorkle co-directed the movie, and fantastic cast with Milo Ventimiglia and Dennis Quaid, John Michael Finley, Sophie Skelton, Ariel Kebble. I mean, so what I'm getting at is that you have to build relationships, because these movies, yes, the Lord started them with me. I was just a vessel, and I carried this along, but others came alongside. And then it takes a real village to make a movie. I mean, hundreds of people. Many hundreds, if you're talking about production and the marketing and the distribution. Lionsgate's been fantastic. It's been amazing to have Lionsgate be so supportive and backing these films.
It's tremendous.
It's miraculous. It really is.
Yeah, it's miraculous. It truly is. Because when I was out there in the beginning, I was just one of a small group of people back in the 90s, where you didn't say you were a Christian, you didn't talk about it, you were very self, because it just was. In television, it was great, you know, Touched by an Angel with Roma, Downey, a great series. But in the feature world, in the movie world, which is where I felt most called, you didn't talk about being a Christian. It was no one got near you about. I mean, they didn't want anything to do with it. And so it's so incredible to see where we are today, where as I've said, profit meets profit, right? P-R-O-P-H-E-T meets P-R-O-F-I-T, which is the language Hollywood speaks. Mm-hmm. So they realize, oh, you mean there's a lot of money? Thank you, Mel Gibson, because Passion of the Christ just blew the doors off of the entire world in 2004.
Yeah, that was pretty much a turning point. Pretty much a turning point where Hollywood opened their eyes. You have to have the investors, and they're not going to invest if they see the Christian movies are failing all over the place. So God did a great work changing their hearts too.
So it really means not just that there is a Christian audience. It means that there is a hunger that's reaching beyond where the world has been. They just have not found an answer. And so when we in the kingdom of God step up with the gifts God has given us, it really opens a lot of doors. It didn't hit me till today, Cindy. Our first intern here at the radio station, Aiden Grosjean, is today in college wanting to be a producer in films.
Hmm.
And he, I believe, was impacted perhaps by you, Kim, and by the fact we would bring on Marty and others here at the station. And he is thrilled that God sort of fast-tracked him somehow because he volunteered. He did anything and everything to serve others who were in the college and in the church and in the ministry, and God started opening doors one after another. And I just met another young person. That's their desire. They want to to get involved in media. So God is calling young people to that, and that's awesome to be able to speak to that today. And Kim, I know God just brought you to us. That was kind of a miraculous thing too.
Right. We know how that happened. So maybe we probably tell the story again. But I'm sure you're hearing, like, we've also been educating the audience in this area through the radio. WCNO's just been so gracious to invite people like Marty from ICFF, who I know Cindy knows, and Nancy Stafford's been on here, and the Sorbos, and we've had such opportunity to share this message of what God's doing and really give him the glory, but also, like Cindy said a few minutes ago, to try to connect the community, connect this Christian filmmaking community, so that they know somebody. Somebody is an entryway for them, or a partner in prayer. Hollywood Prayer Network, we talk about them a lot too.
Yes.
And praise God for what Karen Cavell and the people that are praying for Hollywood all over the world, and how that ministry is booming. All of this is working together. Nothing's accidental. You know, all this prayer has been happening. All these doors are opening. He's putting the right people in the right place. And, you know, we get to watch it happen. And it's amazing to see it unfold, because I, like Cindy, have been around forever in this, because my father was in the business.
You're kind of pioneers.
Yeah. So it's really exciting to see.
Yeah, modern day. But Kim's absolutely right. I mean, let me just say to you, Master Media played a huge role in my career early on. And then to see, I love the Covells, Karen and Jim, and Hollywood Prayer Network. And so there are places. So going back to address about the young generation, which is our future. That's the future of, you know, future filmmakers. There are all those organizations that are out there, from Influence Women with Kathleen Cook, and you know, a number of others, and then film schools. We just screened at Biola University, and I was just blown away how fantastic that film school is. They're building a brand new huge building with a soundstage and everything. So you've got, you know, Biola and Regent, you've got Liberty, you've got all these film schools. So whether you're looking to be a director, a cinematographer, producer, you know, there's film school available. And if you're in front of the camera, there are a number of acting classes out there. And also in terms of film school too, screenwriting. And then the other beautiful thing about today versus when I was starting was that you've got all the, you know, internet. You're able to really make, and digital. You can make movies and short films and get your work seen. So you can write, produce, and direct your own content and get it distributed, get it on YouTube. I mean, so there's just endless opportunities that are available today. And the market has matured to the point of accepting, you know, faith as a legitimate genre. It's just light years beyond where I, you know, me and a few others started pushing that boulder up the mountain.
Yes. Yep.
Well, it is so awesome to have the partnership as a pastor and a part of the ministry here at the radio station. It's so awesome to have partnership of big screen movies that are in the theaters, that are calling people to Christ. And we can see, even though we lost Charlie Kirk, we didn't lose the message. And we have not lost the momentum, and we have not lost the victory. And God is calling many young people to step beyond maybe what they saw in their own family. So this is very exciting. One of the notes I see here is, Cindy, that is said of you, that you have a passion, that you're driven with a passion for telling stories that brings artistry with messages of hope, transformation, and redemption. And that is absolutely preaching the gospel.
Amen. That's why I'm a media missionary. And by the way, I can only imagine too, just so you know, after the first one released, I was listening to the song Even If, which is Mercy Me's number 2 song. And same Holy Spirit
epiphany, chills. I was weeping. And again, the Lord told me then I got a word to make a movie using Even If as the foundation. And then in terms of the movie, where the first movie, Bart was the son, the second movie is the father. And then we have a new character. It's based on a true story of a gentleman by the name of Tim Timmons, played by Milo Ventimiglia from the series This Is Us, is also in Gilmore Girls. So then it's the story of the two, Bart and Tim, and their life stories and how the events in their life transpired into culminating